Hello everyone, welcome to Secure Space with Aarti Nair. This is a podcast dedicated to technology auditing and information security. In today's episode, we will learn about the basics of cloud computing. Just as the internet revolutionized and democratized access to information, cloud computing is doing the same for information technology. As cloud computing is the new normal and data breaches in cloud are being common, there is quite value in understanding the basics of cloud computing for cybersecurity professionals. So let's dive straight into the session. So what is cloud computing? Cloud computing is the delivery of on-demand computing services from applications to storage and processing power, typically over the internet, and you pay as per your usage. So, before cloud computing, say if I wanted to host an e-commerce website, I would have to buy a stack of servers, get a setup ready, make arrangements to cater to this traffic, then allocate enough manpower to monitor and maintain the servers. Altogether, we have to set up a data center, which again requires considerable amount of space. Data center requires power, network, air conditioning, servers, all adding up to the capital expenditure of the business. So at times when we have to cater to the business issues, we may have infrastructure related issues which may have to be troubleshooted by us, or we may have to have enough manpower to troubleshoot those issues, adding up to the expenses. So rather than owning their own computer infrastructure or data centers, companies can rent access to anything from applications to storage from a cloud service provider. This is how cloud computing works. So one benefit of using cloud computing service is that firms can avoid the upfront cost and complexity of owning and maintaining their own IT infrastructure and instead simply pay for what they use when they use it. So the issues of cost, upscaling, maintenance, all of these are being taken care of by the cloud service provider. Werner Vogels, Amazon's CTO, coined the term undifferentiated heavy lifting several years ago to describe all the hard IT work that companies do that doesn't add value to the mission of the company. The mission of the company should be to precipitate to a successful and stable business. Vogel suggests that businesses should stop spending money on undifferentiated heavy lifting and instead acquire resources on demand, pay for what you use, and thus turning fixed cost into variable. So there is cloud computing, which helps businesses to run applications, networks, and other resources like a utility service without having to manage a data center. So now let's look into the key technologies that enable the development of cloud computing. Effectively, it is a cloud data center, virtualization, cloud application programming interfaces or APIs, cloud storage, and cloud databases that have driven the development of cloud computing. Cloud data centers provide the reliability and scalability required for cloud computing. These data centers would be strategically located in cost-effective areas so that you can find services that are physically close to you. And these days, it is trending towards a more modular data center design so that it is not at all centralized in one single collection of hardware. So modular data centers are data centers that are portable and can be deployed anywhere. Thus, it offers unparalleled flexibility. The mobility of a modular data center allows you to use it in remote locations or makeshift locations. Virtualization is the most important technological driver in cloud computing, and it is simply the ability to have multiple virtual operating systems running on a single physical computer. Let's say 15 or 20 years ago, if I wanted 5 servers, I would have to purchase 5 physical computers. But now we need to buy only one and can install multiple operating systems on that single physical computer. So available resources are optimized and more efficiently accessed. Now with respect to cloud-based services and virtualization, it is generally offered under a pay-as-you-go pricing model. So you don't have to buy a package, for example, of 10 if you only need 2 virtual machines. So it helps to keep your cost down. Now, cloud APIs or application programming interface. So cloud APIs actually serve as a layer between the developers who are building the application and cloud services and resources. The most commonly used API architecture is REST or representational state transfer. So for example, if the developer has to connect to a database to obtain information for their application, the REST architecture is how they can do that. So it's much more lightweight and consistent type of architectural environment, and it is fully supported under the cloud resources. So the cloud APIs allow you to move your development environment into the cloud rather than having all the physical architecture in your own organization. Cloud storage. Cloud storage is accessed using a web-based interface offered by the cloud service provider. So for developers developing applications which has data up in the cloud, they can use standard HTTP request to access that data provided you have internet connection. So with the data being in the cloud and accessed over a web-based interface, it doesn't matter where the data is because you will have access to the data as long as you have an internet connection. Now, cloud database. So when it comes to cloud computing, it isn't well suited to relational databases. So relational databases are more better suited to an internal environment, still simply because of limited scalability and integrity with the structured query language. So most cloud databases are non-relational databases, which actually has key value type of table. For example, consider a customer information table with name, address, phone number, email address, etc. And so in this key value table, key is a field such as email address and value is the actual address, say abc@xyz.com. So it is more item oriented, focusing a specific attribute. So they scale very easily. You can just grow and grow the number of records. So the non-relational databases in cloud helps store millions and millions of records. So these are the key technologies that enable the development of cloud computing. So now let's look into the core attributes or core characteristics of cloud computing. Elasticity is the first one. So elasticity refers to the ability to very rapidly add or remove resources or services as needed. So it's a really nice feature as it lets you create and configure a new virtual machine literally within minutes. It doesn't require the server very long to create a virtual machine. They have a number of pre-supplied images that can very quickly create a new system, so you can provision a new one anytime you need it. Similarly, if you determine you no longer need it, you can deprovision or decommission it. So it's very flexible, and hence the term elasticity. The second feature or second characteristic is on demand. So cloud services are available 24 hours a day throughout the year from anywhere with internet connection. So as long as you have network connectivity, you have complete access to your cloud computing environment. Now the third feature is providing pooled computer resources. So a cloud service provider acquires and maintains all computing hardware on which the cloud services run, and it is being shared among all of the cloud services consumers. So it is responsibility of the cloud service provider to acquire all of the hardware that is needed to support all of the users. So this would have been quite expensive if the cloud service provider is to dedicate each physical server to each customer. But the customer here actually shares the access to the physical servers. So that is the concept behind pooled resources. So most providers also give the option to have dedicated resources, sometimes to ensure appropriate security, etc. But that would be expensive, whereas the pooled computing resources typically helps to save on money. The fourth feature is metered service usage. So this feature allows for the subscription fee to be based on a billing model, that is per use. So if you pay for what you use. This is dependent on the amount of storage used or amount of the network bandwidth consumption. So it is similar to any utility service such as water, power that we consume. Similarly, the cloud resources is located based on the usage and you pay as per your usage. Now, broad network access. So, broad network access in a sense means that the cloud services can be accessed from any type of device such as desktop, laptop, tablet, smartphone. As long as the device can access the internet, it can access the storage, the service, the application from the cloud as per your subscription. Now that we have learned what is cloud computing, the key technologies that drive the development of cloud computing and core characteristics of cloud computing, let's look into the service models that the cloud service provider offers its customers. So majorly there are three service models. One is infrastructure as a service, the second one is platform as a service, and the third one is software as a service. So in infrastructure as a service, the cloud service customer might need servers, network connections, equipment, bandwidth, load balancers, IP addresses, etc. So instead of procuring and maintaining these resources on premises, the cloud service customer can subscribe to the infrastructure in the cloud. And the cloud service provider provides access to a complete package of computing and storage resources over the internet or direct cross connects, and the cloud service customer controls and has responsibility over the configuration and utilization of the cloud resources. The cloud service providers provide global infrastructure so that the companies who operate worldwide can do so quickly without having to replicate on-premise data centers in multiple geographic regions. Sounds wise, right? Now, platform as a service. In platform as a service, it supplies on-demand environments for developing, testing, and delivering software applications. So the cloud service developers might need software, operating systems, managing services like data centers, storage network, deploying, testing, hosting, etc. So instead of procuring the vast array of software for this cloud service customer, which takes time and can be expensive, they can actually use the facility or the platform and the environment offered by cloud service provider to allow your developers to build applications and services. The cloud platform removes the need for the cloud service customer to manage the underlying infrastructure, and hence they can focus on the deployment and management of the applications. The cloud service consumer hosts their service in the cloud and user access it via the internal internet. Only administrators of the cloud service consumer are known to the CSP or the cloud service provider, and the standard users are managed by the cloud service customer. Now, software as a service. So in software as a service, companies purchase license to software or services over the internet without having to maintain the servers and operating systems that the software is running on. Actually, you should not worry about where the software is and who has developed the software, etc. You can simply access the software from the cloud. So, a cloud service provider hosts that software application and makes it available to users over the internet, and you just consume it. Okay? You might probably have used a wide array of software as a service applications without even realizing it. The most common example is Gmail, then Microsoft's Office 365, Salesforce CRM, SAP's Concur, etc. Also, let's look into some examples of infrastructure as a service. For infrastructure as a service, Amazon Web Services offer the Amazon EC2, which is Elastic Computing Cloud Compute. Then Windows, Microsoft or Windows Azure. Then there is Google's Compute Engine. Also for platform as a service, again Amazon Web Service provides Amazon Web Service Elastic Beanstalk. Then there is Google App Engine, and again Microsoft Azure provides its own platform as a service component. So the easy way to understand these service models is to compare it with a way to baking a cake or having a cake. Okay, so if you want to have a cake at your own house, like by you buy the cake mix, then you mix it, you have the whipping cream ready, you have the toppings ready, you bake it at home, then it is similar to IaaS. So here the cloud service provider is responsible for storage, network and server. In a similar sense, you buy the cake mix, you just mix it out and you prepare the cake accordingly. So you are responsible for the application, the data, the runtime, the middleware, the operating system, whereas the virtualization, the servers, the storage and the networking are all taken care by the cloud service provider. So in case you're buying the cake and serving it at home, it is similar to the platform as a service. So you just have your applications and data, wherein the runtime environment, the middleware, the operating system, the virtualization, server, storage, networking, everything is provided by the cloud service provider. When in case of SaaS, it's similar to you're going to a restaurant and you are dining there having a cake. Okay, so you're having the cake at the restaurant, you need not worry about anything, you just buy the cake, have it. So here all of the needs like the applications, data, runtime, middleware, operating system, virtualization, server, storage, networking, everything is taken care by the cloud service provider. So now let's look into the different deployment models of cloud computing. The National Institutes of Standards and Technology defines four cloud deployment models: public clouds, private clouds, community clouds, and hybrid clouds. Okay, so if you take public cloud, it is provisioned for open use by the general public, and it may be owned, operated, and managed by a business, academic, or government organization, or some combination. And it exists on the premises of the cloud service provider. Okay, so this type of cloud deployment model supports all users who want to make use of a computing resource, such as hardware or software, on a subscription basis. And most commonly, this is used for application development and testing and non-mission critical tasks such as file sharing and email service. Okay, now private cloud. Private cloud is typically infrastructure used by a single organization. And within the single organization, multiple business units may be accessing it. So the infrastructure is managed by the organization itself. And it could be managed by a service provider itself that takes care of it either on-site or on-premise or off-site. Okay, but private clouds compared to public clouds are very expensive due to the capital expenditure involved in acquiring and maintaining them. However, private clouds are better able to address the security and private concerns of organizations today. Hybrid cloud is a composition of two or more distinct cloud infrastructures. So in a hybrid cloud, an organization makes use of interconnected private and public cloud infrastructure. So many organizations make use of this model when they need to scale up their IT infrastructure rapidly, such as when leveraging public clouds to supplement the capacity available within a private cloud. For example, if an online retailer needs more computing resources to run its web application during the holiday season, then it may attain those resources via public clouds. Community cloud. Community cloud deployment model supports multiple organizations sharing computing resources that are part of a community. For example, it includes universities cooperating in certain areas of research or police departments within a country or state sharing computing resources. So access to a community cloud environment is typically restricted to the members of the community. So I hope I briefly explained the various aspects of cloud computing in this episode and you find it useful. With this, I'm winding up this episode. In the next session, I hope to speak on the key cloud service providers in the market and also on the cloud security aspect. So see you in my next session. Until then, please take care of yourself and keep learning. Thank you.